Ladies and gentlemen, what's up? This is BC. This is another episode of Supreme Being. You know, we've been bringing you the interviews recently. You've been asking for more, so I decided to bring on another rock star, someone who I've known for a couple of years now. Zach, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So a quick introduction about yourself, bro, and all the greatness coming out of the state of Washington for the folks that might not know you.
Cool. So, yeah, I got into real estate. This is my fifth year. In about 4 years, I sold about 200 houses individually. And then last year, I actually stepped out of production because I got a team of 30 here now. And I ended up starting a flipping company, a wholesale company. I got about 15 doors now, and we're just about to launch a property management company. So things are blowing up here, and we're really excited, but we're doing it kind of unconventionally. So it's kind of fun.
Love it, bro. So you went over a lot there, right, in a very short time. So where did the name Dream Team come from? Because that's the name of your team over there in Washington, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure, dude. I just really liked the Michael Jordan era of basketball. So the Dream Team, Olympic team, and then I was like, yeah, I'm just going to rock with that. I loved it. And then we just actually rebranded it because, you know, I never really thought we'd end up having 30 people and being in two different states. So we just did a rebrand and it looks awesome. So we're super excited. It's just been kind of a crazy ride the last 12 months.
Yeah, man. It's been amazing to see your growth, bro. Was it kind of like the team structure from day one and you decided to do that as soon as you got in the business, or did it just kind of organically happen as you started having success in the business?
Yeah, exactly. And it probably, I'm not sure if it was the same for you, but almost kind of seems like it, right? Like where you start blowing up or whatever that's called, or you start doing well and then people start going, Brian, you know, probably at the beginning, how'd you do that? How'd you do this with cold calling and door knocking? And then it was kind of like, okay, I'll just do 5 people. And then it was like, okay, I'll just do 10 people. It's like, okay, I'll just do 20 people. And then shit, you're at 30 people and you're like, okay, fuck, I'll just do 100 people. Like, you know, it's like, whatever. So it's just been organically, you know, developing as time goes on.
Cool. What do you think allowed you to be in like that 1% of people that had massive success when they got into real estate? Because you know the statistics, bro, 90% or 92% of people, I think, fail within a year or two, yet you're crushing it. What's the magic?
Yeah, one, my first, obviously just owe a lot to you, just listening to you. And I think that just comes with also being a good student, right? Because you had a coach or whatever that you just kind of humbled yourself, put ego out the door, just like, hey, I'm just going to shut up. I'm just going to listen to this and I'm just going to move forward. And so I think a lot of people have that, but they just don't allow themselves to do that. Cause I think anyone can truly do this. I think even some people are more cut out to be job people, which is totally fine because we need nurses and we need principals, we need doctors, we need all that stuff. But I really do think anyone can do it. It's just, do you want to do the steps long enough, consistent enough, and eat a lot of shit on the way there? And yeah, not a lot of people want to do that, man. Not a lot of that's it. Just work hard and do that. And no one really wants to sign up for that. It sounds fun, but then it's like, oh, you have to just crawl through the mud like you're in the army training, you know, like just crawling through it. Not a lot of people have it cut out in their DNA to do that.
Yeah, I agree, bro. I had a lot of people reach out to me when I started in LA, and when I told them what I was actually doing and they found out, 99% of them just ran for the hills. It's like, oh, there's no way I'm going to work that hard, right? Yeah. So just so people have a better understanding, pre-real estate and getting your license, what did you do?
I literally had a bad relationship around early 20s, and that took me to get a little bit of a late start in life. Then I went to school and I was going to get, you know, either my master's or doctorate in psychology. And obviously I know that kind of stuff interests you too, right? It kind of comes hand in hand with like business or, you know, just conquering the mind. So I was just really excited and I really wanted to be self-employed and have my own practice and kind of just do my own thing. And then met my wife, and I was just washing dishes in college, dropped out, started selling some cars, realized I could sell stuff. And I was like, I'm just going to get my real estate license, and then I'm just going to make 60 grand a year. And lo and behold, we're way beyond anything that I thought was possible. So.
That's amazing, bro. What initially sparked the idea for real estate? Because I think it's rare that people get into sales and do well and then automatically think real estate.
Yeah, it's pretty tough because I sold like 64 cars in like 4 or 5 months. So I could have just probably rode my way up to finance. And then, and if you know cars at all, if you're in finance and cars, easiest job in America, probably, period. You're just selling warranties. You're sitting in the box. You're just talking to banks. You make 200 grand. It's the easiest money. So I definitely saw a path of like, wow, I could just cash that in, done my 30 years or whatever. But I think the car business is like, would have just ruined my soul, you know? It's just so brutal, dude. Like, I mean, we deal with objections, but very often you hear like, oh, you're a piece of shit, you realtor. You hear that every day in the car world. And I mean, hey, at some point, people don't affect you, but if you hear that every day, I don't care how strong you are, that's pretty brutal. So it's just like, I was like, you know, I just don't think that's for me. I think this realtor thing, though, you know, it's kind of the same thing. And, you know, it's like the stigma just doesn't exist as strongly as it does here. So I just felt like my path to victory might have been a little easier in that realm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense. So you start, you know, what does the first couple months, first year look like in the business? And then we'll kind of roll into what you're doing with the team.
Cool. I don't know how it was for you, man, but I almost quit like 6 times. I didn't sell a house for 6 months. And I was just like, I suck at this. I just want to quit. Because I feel like real estate tests your soul, it tests your body, it tests your mind, it tests everything. Like, it makes you who you need to be to do the job. And that first 6 months was brutal. And then I sold 25 houses after that. So thank God I didn't quit. And then, you know, then boom, boom, boom. And then I just started stacking cash. And, you know, now I have a bunch of doors and, you know, it's can't really go back from that. Life's changed forever.
Hell yeah, brother. What was it? Was it an accumulation of things? Was it an aha moment? Was it an implementation of something that caused you from, you know, nothing in those first 6 months to having that like explosion?
Yeah, I think it was just honestly a life test, man. Like, life was like, how bad do you want this? And it sent me through just the building myself up emotionally. And then I got like one or two deals closed and I was like, this isn't too hard, you know? And then you start posting on Facebook and all your friends are like, well, Zach's actually not quitting. He's doing the thing. And then, you know, you get a few people interested, you learn a little bit, and then it just went boom, boom, boom. And then COVID hit and, you know, the rest is kind of history, right? Because interest rates were like 3%.
Yeah. So kind of walking through what it was like for you to transition from just being by yourself to like bringing on your first couple team members. Cause I think you made that seem seamless, but a lot of people struggle with whether it's like a part-time assistant or bringing on an agent. That step for them to go from just like a individual salesperson to a leader is a leap of faith that most people just will never take. Can you walk us through that?
Yeah, well, first off, I had the capital so I could really afford to, you know, lose money. And then you're probably the same way too, but I really believe in like giving people a shot, right? The right people. I think that just comes from being a sports person. You're in sports. Like you probably saw guys where you were like in high school or middle school or whatever, like, oh, that guy can't really ball. And then like he goes and takes the summer and comes back and he's just like kicking ass. And you're like, that's my guy, let's go. So it's like, I think you give those guys those chances and then you just sow into them and give them some patience and time. Cause I really do think that, you know, for the fast person, maybe like me or you, it takes 12 months. For a little bit of a slower cooker, it could take 2-3 years to really like figure this out, become the person you need to be. So I really just wanted to find some of my friends that I thought were good people and I would like to be around and then get them. Oh, nice. Cool. Sorry, man. I didn't know you could do that on here. But I just like to get people, you know, around that showed a lot of potential and, you know, I could sew into them. And lo and behold, then you start getting some top producers after your original guys kind of start kicking off. And then I think I owe it a lot to sports, man. You know, just being around just the camaraderie and being a leader in sports and then just translating it to here and just truly being there for people. Because a lot of people in this industry, man, you know how it is. They just don't want to be there for you. A lot of this is just like being there for someone when their dad passes away or like, you know, someone has a really bad relationship with money and you're just like, bro, let me sit down. We'll go get some coffee. You can cry, whatever you need to do, man. But it's more than just houses for sure. When it's the team stuff.
Yeah. You know, a lot of times the coldness of the business kicks in and the people forget that human element, right? Like we all have lives and we exist outside of just churning transactions. Right.
Yep.
You know, one thing you mentioned and you've mentioned this a few times throughout the interview so far, that I think is a tough thing for people is, you know, you said you stack cash, you have capital. So it seems like having a basic discipline with money wasn't hard from you, for you, right?
No.
Was there like a philosophy or something that you learned or some kind of thing that you implemented from the beginning to make sure that you didn't really mess around with money and you set yourself up for future success?
Yeah, I think my growing up single mom, dude, my mom was super frugal. And I remember when I was 18, she gave me a credit card and she looked at me. She was like, don't fuck this up. So it's like, I kind of had like an early intro to like credit and money. And, you know, I honestly, there's probably a few times I even ran that credit card up to $2,000 max. My mom's like all pissed, probably trying to bail me out. I think that happened a few times. So I just learned early on, you know, where it's like, hey man, you gotta, you know, I thank my mom for that, where she's sewed that into me. And then, yeah, I think that just being on a budget is super important, living below your means. And, but I also think that since I'm a really investment mindset and you are too, cause you have some doors and stuff, when you're investing, like more of an investor mindset in this, I think it makes it a lot easier, man. Cause a lot of these realtors, they don't want to ever think about, more than just selling houses. And that's what I was super passionate with the team and why we left some of the brokerages we left. Cause it was like retail, retail, sell, sell, sell. And we're like, dude, there's like seven other ways to make money. And you guys all think it's like scummy and bad. And it's like, not really. It's really trapping my realtors or any realtor in the matrix of just sell houses and you can't build any wealth. Well, I mean, you can, but it's not as efficient building wealth, selling 30 houses a year, especially not for your time either.
Yeah, absolutely. So like the first check or two that you closed, like those first two or three deals, what did you do with those checks?
Oh God, I don't even remember. I think I just freaked out, to be honest. I didn't do anything. I just was like, oh my God, I can't believe I made this much money. My first check was shit though. It was only like $1,200. Cause I was like, you know, half deal, 50-50 team. So I didn't make a lot of money at first, but when I first got my first few bigger deals, like $7,000, $8,000, $9,000, $10,000, I just couldn't even believe. I think the most money I'd ever had in my bank account at that point was $5,000. And I was just like, oh, this is crazy. So I was just stacking cash.
Oh, we lost him. There we go. Cool. All right. Lost you there for a second. Pretty cool, bro. I mean, it's amazing. So you start bringing your people on, right? If we go back to the team, what type of structure did you have initially for your team in regards to production or training? Because when somebody comes into the business, I think, and I'm sure you found this because you have so many people now, people have different ideas of what the business actually is. So bringing people in and kind of streamlining that process can be challenging at times. What were some of the things that you did?
Well, I didn't really even know at first, right? Because I never had the like Keller Williams experience or anything like that to kind of learn. So I kind of just freeballed it, to be honest with you. So I just getting in some friends. And I think just at first it was just like, guys, just call me. I'll give you enough breadcrumbs. I'll walk you through these documents. I'll give you enough and then just go work. And then when you like meet a roadblock, just call me. Just call me when you guys are stuck and you just can't figure it out, or just drive to my house at 8 o'clock. So, and cause I fully believe that entrepreneurs like learn through action, not just me in a class writing on a whiteboard and say, this is how you do this. And this is earnest money. Like no one wants to listen to all that shit. So I think that became so much like such a unique thing. Cause not a lot of people are doing it. And I just kind of like going with the flow, trying to figure my own thing out. And I was selling so many houses at the time that maybe, you know, I never really looked too deep into it, but then it just kind of worked, you know? So, and all these guys started working for them. And then we got a little bit more methodical over the, you know, the last few years. And because the last few years as a team, we've been doing about 200. We did 210 last year, even though it was a crappy year, and 230 the year before that with me still selling like 40 houses. So me getting out of production was awesome. And then now we're just refining that. We got like a whole new agent trainer course thing. That's really awesome. So yeah. And a lot of those new guys, you know, guys I had at first, the OGs, so to speak, now they're like, you know, they're flourishing. They know how to help me. So it's ready to take off to that next, you know, that next level.
Yeah. And you mentioned now you're in a second state, Idaho, correct?
Yep. And then we're trying to go to a different city. It's kind of towards Seattle. It's called Tri-Cities. We have a few agents there that they're talking to me right now. So yeah, we might be in like three different areas here soon.
Love it, man. When did the two questions, when did the first initial expansion into Idaho occur? And then we'll get into kind of like the investment side and the wholesale side.
Okay, cool. Yeah, like 2 years ago, I did a cross sale with this girl named Kelsey, and I just loved her, man. Like, we just connected, like, totally brother, sister right away. It was just easy. Yeah. And so we met, and then it was like, hey, you know, like, do you want to start some Idaho thing? And then, yeah, it just organically happened. You know, she had four or five close friends. They left their place, went to us. And we just kind of built it up. It's still pretty slow over there. Idaho's kind of a different beast, man. Washington, everyone, at least in Spokane, everyone kind of wants to collaborate. Idaho's kind of like, we want to collaborate, but kind of leave me the fuck alone. And I don't really want to get to know you or really learn much. Because I don't know. This is a resort town, man. It's kind of weird. It's just different there. So we're trying. We still got like, you know, five or six people over there. But it's great. I want to get another like 5 or 10 people there and another 5 or 10 people in Tri-Cities, but the Idaho, everything's happened organically, right? Like even the Tri-City, a guy that tuned my car 3 years ago calls me. He goes, I want to be a lender. And then goes, I got three buddies that are in real estate. You should meet them. I'll be the lender. Made him meet Hunter. Yep. Boom. The rest is history. So.
Love it, man. So it sounds like, you know, the resounding theme with you has really just been like the people aspect, right? I feel like people really, because, you know, you have a pretty warm and open personality, bro. And I think it's very easy for anybody to be like a friend with you. Is that something you always had? Or did you know you had to really develop that to have success in real estate, especially being like a connector with people?
Yeah, I think that's natural, man. My mom used to say that I'd go up to strangers at the grocery store. She's worried about me getting captured. So, I have the same thing because I got a son and a daughter now, and they do the same stuff, right? So, I think that's just a God-given gift to just connect with other people. And I just think being open is easier because if you're not, then it's like, it's just like, you know, you can't really ever help. You can't impact people as much. You got to be. But you talk about it all the time, right? You put yourself out there and you get haters, and some people that love you will hate you later. So you got to deal with more shit. But if you don't, then how do you even have the chance to help and impact other people if you don't put yourself out there, you know?
Yeah, man. What were maybe some of like those tough personal moments maybe you had in those first couple years? Like, do you remember any? Do any stand out to you, whether it's like a hater or not having money or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, the first brokerage that I was at, I was only there for like 2 weeks, and they started a lot of like drama about like personal life stuff, that like stuff I wasn't even doing. So that almost pushed me out of the business because I was like 24, 25 year old kid, you know, never had anyone in my family in real estate. And that like, you know, almost shot me right out of the water instantly. And I wasn't strong mentally then either because I was just a young kid trying to figure it out. And then, I've had a lot of just relationships, promises made, bad partnerships where this guy, you know, makes me lose 30 grand and just like, you know, acts like nothing happened, or, you know, takes my friends into a flip or something. And then like almost, you know, makes it go into bankruptcy. And then you're like, he's the guy. It's just like, okay. So, you know, this is, you know, yeah. I sold house for a builder for a while, and he turned out to just kind of be a rotten dude. So, you know, I've had stuff along the years. And then, of course, I'm, you know, just like you, you're a different guy. I'm a different guy. So being the dream team guy isn't always fun because the industry just hates you, and you had long hair. So it's like the Caldwell Bankers or the Windermeres of the world aren't like, Brian's great. He's a stand-up guy. And they're like, who the fuck is this guy, right? So, you know, that's always like, you know, at some point you're always like, yeah. And at some point you're like, damn, man, come on, dude. Does it have to be every day or like every week? Can you give me like, can you give me 3 weeks off here, man? So it gets a little brutal being different, but it's always worth it because your crew is always going to be tighter and better than everyone else.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you dealt with that a lot? Maybe like at the local level or the social media level with like you and your team, do you guys get like kind of some flack from the local community?
Oh yeah, dude. Like they think that, and you've met my crew, man. Like we'll have a few drinks, but we don't like party or do anything. Yeah. I was like, they're the Wolf of Wall Street. Like we're doing coke off strippers' asses and shooting midgets out of a cannon or something. We're just like, no, dude, we're just goofy, man. We just have fun. But it's just, I mean, that's good though, because it's that different from the norm. And I think we've disrupted it so much now that obviously we have 30 people. I would assume that's probably one of the bigger agent teams in Spokane, agent count wise. I don't know. I'm sure there's probably some that do like 300 or 400 you know, units a year, because all of our guys are pretty relatively new. But I mean, yeah, man. I mean, it's yeah, we get a lot of shit for being different, that's for sure.
Yep. Right up my alley, dude. So in regards to like recruitment and bringing people on, has it been all organic, or have you done any kind of like traditional stuff to try to recruit people?
Yeah, pretty much all organic. I mean, there's been a few times where I'm, you know, like I could see someone talking to me. I'm like, hey, I'll meet you for coffee. And that's about it. You know, so like, I guess you could probably say that's if out of 10 out of 10 recruiting, it's probably like a 5, you know, where you're like, hey, I'll at least do initiative to offer you a Calendly invite to go meet me for coffee. But there's a few, yeah, there's definitely a few that I've kind of reached out to. I'm like, I really want to work with you, you know? Yeah. So I'd say, and I think we're getting into a time now where I got kind of like, you know, you probably have the same thing where at some point you get so big, you got team leaders. So you kind of have some like, you know, mini teams within the teams kind of thing going. So I got, you know, I've told a lot of those guys like, hey man, it's your guys' turn. You know, like I've kind of ran my race and done my thing. I'm going to keep banging away. I'm not going to go anywhere, because what else am I going to do? But like, you guys are the, you know, you're doing stuff. Like you guys have to, you know, kind of make your own mark here. You can bring people to me and I can go, this is what I've done. Here's my accolades. Here's how I can help you. But at some point, the guy's got to start recruiting, I think, at this point.
Yeah, they're going to have to graduate, basically, right?
Yep.
Cool, dude. So in regards to, again, the team, dude, because I'm always curious about this. As soon as I went from being individual to a team model, like it really changes, especially from a financial standpoint, because now you have more overhead, right? Yeah. You're paying people, you have employees, you have other agents. You're not like 100% profitable, like just selling a deal and you have your split. Now you have splits with team members and that kind of stuff. So from like a profitability standpoint for you on the business side, is there anything that you do to make sure that, you know, as this thing grows, you still keep that profit margin high? Because that's what I'm finding with a lot of people who run big teams. Is yeah. They'll generate 2 or 3 million in commission and money, but they'll walk away with like $100,000. I'm like, dude, is it even worth it? You know?
Yeah. So our same thing, our margins aren't like crazy, because a lot of my guys are like 80-20, 70-30. But I think that's kind of like just works for us, for our model. I've had a few people be like, I can't believe you're doing this, which I make sense. I get it. Cause like obviously 50-50, 60-40. But me, I started on a 50-50, 60-40 thing, and it just wasn't my jam. And so I feel like my jam is like, let me build up some leaders and then build them up so good that they can either leave my team and start their own thing, or they just can stay here and use my systems and they'll know that like they'll save 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 grand in like startup costs and mistakes and stupid shit that I had to do. So that's kind of my jam. And so far it's really worked, but you know, like I get creative. Like I got an assistant, she's getting her license. We're going to work together, share our retail stuff 50-50. I give her like a transaction fee. I pay her like all commission, but I'm like, you're going to make more money anyway than if I wage you out. So, so I've just gotten a lot of, you know, like creative things that have allowed me to just, you know, maintain my profit, my profitability, and like still give my agents a good deal. So I've kind of really designed it that way. And then now, you know, I don't have to, I feel like it's attracted the right people too, because I think a lot of those 50-50s can kind of bring a lot of job people, you know, that just kind of want that free leads, check in, you know, just 50, 60 grand a year. So, yeah, I think it's been, you know, really good for me, because, and also I got the investments and the flips and I got all these other things that allow me to, you know, hey, even if I make a few $100,000 or $100,000 or whatever, or I just really do a good deal one day and just say, I'll just take 50 grand a year. And I'll be around. I'll give some money to my leaders or whatever. I got my flips. I got my rentals. I got this property management company, you know, that can do other things. Oh, and I got a construction company. I forgot to mention that, but I just started that too. Yeah. So I got these other things, man, that can kind of just, you know, take care of the rest.
Yeah. That's great, bro, because a lot of people aren't future minded and investment minded when they started. And you mentioned you had that from day one. But with the team model, bro, I think that's brilliant, because I did something similar with my team. And the main focus for me, kind of like you were saying at the end, it's like, I want to create an environment where people, it's easy for them to be loyal, right? You focus on the people, right? You don't reach into their pockets too much. And it's very easy for people to grow within your company, because you give them the opportunity to, again, graduate to leadership, get more responsibility, make more money. And now there's really no reason for them to leave, right? Was that kind of your philosophy as you built the thing?
Right on, man. And then bigger now, because now it's like, okay, I want you guys to have money so you can go do flips with me, or, you know, we can go do a fucking development and, you know, punch, like, I find a flip house that's on a half an acre, and now we can go punch in over some roads and put some money in and go do a development, or, you know, whatever. So to me, it was always like, let's think about this 5, 10, 15 years down the road. And if I can, same thing, build a thing with some loyalty, with good camaraderie, they know my heart. They're like, damn, this, just that alone right there. You saying that, that's, who else in real estate saying that shit? Me and you, not very many other people, right? So it's like, people get that, man. They especially these agents that stick around with you for 2, 3, 4 years are like, where else am I going to go? Not anywhere else. They don't even give a shit about me.
Yeah. No, it's true, bro. So right now, in regards to like maybe the next 5 years, are you guys and are you really focused on expanding into more states, or are you looking to really just take over these two little, or – I think you're going to be in your third area, you said, but are you really focusing like Spokane, Coeur d'Alene, or is it, hey, fuck it, I want to take over the whole United States?
Yeah, I think I'm willing to take it wherever it organically goes. And I got a owner that runs this brokerage up here called Amplify. He's got a kind of an, almost like an EXP model that he built for himself. It's kind of interesting, or like a real thing. It's like a cloud-based thing. It's kind of, it's just really different, really neat. And he's also my age, so he's a younger guy. So I think we could do whatever, man. So I'm open. And then I think the rest of it is I'm interested in the team stuff to helping them, but I'm more interested in like my leaders taking over, and then, you know, all these other companies that I'm building, and then like my, you know, my flips and my building my portfolio. I'm like, I'm really focused on that right now, rather so as just the team.
Yeah. So what would be your recommendation, bro, to either somebody who's in a position similar to us, like maybe where they're leading a team or people, or like a newer agent, to really adopt this mindset that you have of focusing on the people first versus just profitability and numbers?
Yeah, I mean, I think it just comes from, I almost feel like it has to be like who you are at your core. I think you're either that way with people or not, truly. So I'd say if you're not that way, then I guess we can take all their agents. We give a shit. But if you are that way, I'd say it's worth it. You're not going to make a lot of money up front, but in the long run at scale, it's really worth it. And if you can just hang in there enough to do it, it's so worth it. And also, I would recommend getting involved in the investment side of things, because like, you just got to understand, man, there's like, in this town, there's one other place besides us. No, probably some teams. I don't know everybody, but there's one prominent place in Spokane other than us that's like investment, build apartments, do flips, wholesale properties. Like that is such a big thing, I think, to add to a team dynamic. It's just because nowhere else does it, and that's the shit that's going to really impact people to build long-term wealth.
Right, right. So the future for you, are you going to stay in Spokane or are you going to move?
I really like Scottsdale, man. Not gonna lie. Cool. So I think that could be like a 5-year thing for sure, dude, or Florida or wherever, but definitely gonna get a second home. I mean, right now I can't, because I guarantee you a second rate house is fucking like 10% or something, just astronomical. So, but yeah. I love it here. I hate, it's 1 degrees outside. I can't do the winters. My wife hates the winters. So it's a little bit more challenging with kids, but I mean, I think we're going to send our kids to Christian school anyway, so we can do whatever the hell we want. So, you know, but it would be nice to pick up, at least for now, like a condo somewhere that we could run away to. But yeah, eventually Arizona, I really like, because it's only a 2-hour flight from me and it's warm, and the vibe down there is just kind of almost similar to my, you know, like a Florida. It's different. You guys are definitely a little bit more weird, which I like a lot, because this is crazy. Freaking people riding crocodiles and shit. It's crazy. A little bit more older people in Scottsdale area, but I just really like the vibe down there, man. It's really cool.
Oh yeah, dude. It's amazing. Yeah. I've been to Scottsdale a few times and I like it. And I still have a lot of friends that live out there too. So cool, man. I appreciate you coming on, dude. If somebody wants to hit you up and they're like, hey, man, I want to link up with Zach, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
Yeah, I mean, you can text me 509-703-0902, or you can just add me on Facebook. I'm, like Brian said, pretty open guy. You can just text me or DM me or whatever if you have questions. I'm really passionate right now about teaching, about everything I've learned on flips and stuff. Or if you want to ever get me out, Brian, to speak, I would love to do a lot more speaking gigs, and I got a lot more value to give now that I can teach a lot about the flipping and stuff and just building wealth, because I stacked like 15, 16 doors in the last 2 years, and I only spent like 50 grand because I was utilizing the Burr method and stuff. So, yeah, man, I'm here to help anyone who wants to learn stuff.
Yeah, beast mode. All right, guys, contact him. Appreciate you coming on, bro. That's it for this episode. Ladies and gentlemen, another amazing guest. I've seen Zach come up and do his thing, and he's really just crushing it. So I'm glad to have him on. And most definitely, bro, you know, I'm doing a lot of events, virtual events and summits and, you know, in-person events. So you'll definitely be at some of them for sure.
Cool, man. All right, dude. I got another meeting, so I'll talk to you later.
For sure, brother. Thanks for coming on. Thanks. See you guys.